Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You may have seen Washington College anthropology professor Bill Schindler in action, though it's sometimes hard to tell under all those animal skins. Last year in the National Geographic Channel show The Great Human Race, he and desert survival expert Kat Bigney lived like prehistoric people. Here they came across a dead antelope.
Kat and I realized quickly when we get into this animal that there's an odor to this meat. I don't think we're going to be able to eat it, but even if the meat isn't great, there's all kinds of things we can get out of this animal.
Okay, I'm going to try to get this sinew off. We can have tools, tie with it. This is perfect. I just got to get up underneath here. We can get it off. I'm going to take a second.
Okay, and out come the handmade blades. Bill was asked to be on the show because of the course in experimental archaeology and primitive technology that he teaches. He gets students, some of whom have never cracked an egg, to use what he calls technologies, tools they make to skin deer, fire they use to make bowls. Why? Isn't there an app for that? Bill's featured in the latest issue of The Atlantic and joins us from Washington College in Chesterton, Maryland. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, you are talking. I was a Girl Scout till I was 21. Hi, Mrs. Watson, Troop 389. I love camping. I love being in the wild. But this is beyond. This is survivalist.
Actually, it's a step further. We love to use that word survival. The TV genre right now is built on that word. I think it's more about subsistence, and that's really the story, the legacy of our human past, and it's about connection. So it's not just about getting through the next day and being able to live and wake up the next morning. It's about doing really well.
And you say what as to why do this now?
One of the main reasons is all of the technologies are the basis of the story of our shared ancestral past. It is uniquely human. So by connecting these students with those technologies, we give them a context through which to view the world in an entirely different way, and also a way that they can view their place in the world.
So talk about some of the things that you do with your students. And is it true that some of them don't even know how to crack an egg? Is that possible?
Well, that's taken from a story of a class that I taught several years ago where I did need students. We were cooking this huge, seven-course meal from scratch for an event for the college. And this one particular group of five students, none of them had ever cracked an egg before. And this one scenario was very powerful because in this class, the week prior, we had been talking about chicken farming issues on the Eastern Shore. And if we're going to talk about chicken farming, it may sound odd, but I truly believe this. If we're going to talk about chicken farming, then students should have cracked eggs, butchered chickens, and cooked chickens. If we're talking about housing development, they probably should know how to swing a hammer and pound a nail. These are some of the basic skills that I think we really need to make sure that we instill in our students in some form to have these informed discussions.
I was with you on everything, and I'm imagining some of our listeners were on everything but the slaughter part. Can you take that up for a second?
Sure.
What do you say to people who say, that's why we've evolved, because we don't need to slaughter animals now?
It is because we found and developed technologies that allowed us to access the nutrients that are in animals that were even here standing on the planet today the way that we are. In fact, a lot of our evolutionary story is based on the way that we have used animals for food.
Lots of research points to that when men ate meat, there was a certain evolutionary point there. How do kids, it's one thing to take your crack at cracking an egg. It's another thing to kill and skin and, be messing around with the body parts of an animal. How do they do?
We've used upwards of almost 90% of that animal for not only food, but also for tools and for leather and the rest of it. So these animals are being used completely, which helps the student's ethical perspective. Not only does it show them what can be done, but we actually do all of that. And when they get into it, they realize that there's something valuable and powerful to this. It's, a lot of people call it visceral insulation. Modern Western people are insulated from the visceral nature of how we get our food. And this is one way that these students can have access to it, and they thrive.
And there's something else you talk about, soul authorship, a concept coined by Michael McCarthy, who's a blacksmith. What is that?
The idea is that we create for students experiences where they author their own education on project-based, hands-on learning experiences. It's not that they're watching a video on butchering or they go and watch somebody else butcher, or I even hand them a knife and a partially butchered animal. In fact, what they're doing is they're finding the rock, they're making the tools, they're butchering the animal, they're making tools out of the bones, they're cooking the meat, and then consuming it. It's a complete full circle. they learn through all of their senses. They feel a sense of ownership, and they learn at each one of these steps things that we just can't replicate in an artificial learning situation.
Look, talk about you and how you got here, because here you are a college professor, but we understand you changed majors 7 times. It turned out you had an eye impairment. You were temporarily legally blind. You had surgery. It's kind of miraculous. I mean, people who knew you in college would be saying, I didn't think he was going to do anything. I got that right?
Yes. In fact, a lot of them have been saying that. I've had a lot of contact with people from high school and college after the show came out.
What does that say to you, though? Because we keep talking about how young people need to be further trained in technology, and Silicon Valley's where it's at.
They do need to be trained in technology. They do need to learn how to live in a modern world. And what I'm trying to do is open their eyes and allow them to see the world the way their ancestors did. And by doing that, my hopes are that these students can blend or fuse that grounding with all of the other things that they're learning in the modern world today to come up with brand new solutions and brand new ways to deal with each other, with the world, with the environment, with their food. But to answer your question more directly, students who are not necessarily the best test takers or the ones that will always raise their hand in class thrive in an environment like this where they can take their skills and leverage them in a way that makes them, again, thrive. They might be the best at making a tool, or they might be the best at planning a strategy in a group kind of a setting. With these open-ended questions, it's really inclusive for all types of teaching and learning styles.
As they make their own cheese from raw goat's milk, as they tap maple syrup, make cricket tacos, the various things that they get to do. Look, being on the show actually makes you a better anthropologist, because whereas an anthropologist, you're looking at what's been left behind to see what it means, you are now the one leaving it behind.
Yes, that was a powerful set of moments for me as an archaeologist. I got to actually see the residues of the activities that I was engaged in that an archaeologist in the future would find if we had left it behind. And it allowed me to really, I think, look at the archaeological record in a different way. But in a more powerful sense, it was the first time. I'm very passionate about teaching through this sole authorship lens, but it was my opportunity on this show to author my own education through those experiences. Kat and I were the only two people ever on the planet to live, even though it was only about 8 days at a time, but live as close as we could to the 10 most significant time periods in our evolutionary past. And I know that we didn't think the same exact thoughts as our ancestors did or feel the same exact feelings, but we came pretty close.
Yeah. Well, just a word about Kat Bigney, again, your partner in this. She grew up in the Wasatch Mountains. When she was a kid, she would disappear and pick up roadkill and build her own shack with a hand-pumped well and coal stove. I mean, she obviously had this childhood passion for this as well. You got to find out about your animal fat waterproofing on your homemade skin boots, which, you wore on a melting glacier in Alaska. You got frostbite in Uganda. You and Kat were surrounded by hyenas, but still you're on a TV show. There's cameras there.
Sure. Yeah. Sure was. We figured out a way, I think, to make some really remarkable television that told one of the most important stories of our shared ancestral past. And certainly we had to make accommodations on both sides in order to do that in a way that reached a large audience. But I believe that show aired in 171 different countries. The number of people that have contacted me of all ages to ask questions and talk about things that they've never had in front of them or even thought about before, it was overwhelming. And it was worth every second.
What's one thing you would tell people, those people who wish, who are envious and curious? They can't do some of the things that you occasionally do on your front lawn, to your wife's dismay. but what can people do? I'm not going to fire a bowl to eat out of, but what can we do?
Anyone who's interested in any of these primitive skills, and that's what we call them, all these ancestral skills, there are more of you out there than you believe. There's some amazing organizations, great conferences. I'm the chair of XARC, which is an international organization that really focuses on primitive technology, experimental archaeology, open-air museums, historic interpretation. Get in contact with them, and you can connect all over the world through that. But more immediately, I think the easiest way to reconnect, get to practice some of these skills, and do it in a way that's really meaningful for people and their families is through food. Things like foraging, fermentation, fishing, hunting, trapping, even if you do it just every now and then, if you do a little bit of foraging in your yard or go fishing a couple times a year, you are making a connection that allows you to not only feed yourself with very healthy foods, but helps you maintain a connection that impacts the way that you shop at the stores, the way you feed your family. And the results of that are increased health and changing the market in a way that helps with issues such as sustainability.
That's Bill Schindler, chair of the Anthropology Department at Washington College, where he teaches experimental archaeology to his students. His work is featured in The Atlantic. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.